The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths And as you know in this program of ours we are endeavoring to cover the lives of some of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, who made great sacrifices for the sake of Islam. And they knew the importance of sacrifices, hence they carried them out. Alhamdulillah, we appreciate them. We acknowledge their sacrifices. And the reason why we hear about them, discuss them, is so that we can take inspiration and encouragement from their lives and try to make our mindset to make sacrifices for the deen inshallah. But before that, let us hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, there is no slave who sends salat upon me except that his voice reaches me wherever he is, wherever he may be. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were inquisitive people. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'da wafatik, meaning we understand this during your lifetime, but what about when you pass away, when you veil yourself from us? And that is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered this question of theirs, removed any confusion they had, and said that even after I pass away, it will be the same as well. Meaning it will continue to be the case that their recitation of salat reaches me. And then he mentioned famously, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأْكُلَ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Indeed, Allah has forbade the earth to consume the bodies of the Prophets alayhim as-salam. فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. The Prophet of Allah is alive and he is given sustenance. Subhanallah. So with this in mind, let's all make an intention to have our voices, our lowly voices, our undeserving voices presented in the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Views of Madin Channel in Surah Yasin, verse 13. There is an account, one of the stories of the Quran is mentioned. And in light of that story, we will discuss the sacrifices of some particular people, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرِيَةِ. And strike for them the example of the people of the city. Now what is meant here? Which city is meant? The city known as Antakya. And this is between five mountains, this region. And at that time, worshipping idols was rife, rampant. People would worship idols in that part of the world. Allah Ta'ala willed guidance for the people of that city. And how so? Three muballighin, three preachers of Islam, they set out towards that region. Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. When our envoys came to them. And they came with what? With the message of Tawheed. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُم مُرْسَلُونَ. When two envoys went to them and then they denied them. The people of that region denied those ambassadors, those envoys. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We helped those two with the third. And they said, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We are envoys that have come to you, that have been sent to you. Now, which time period was this in particular? It was the time period of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam. So it was Isa alayhi salam who sent two of those envoys initially to this part of the world, Antakya. One was called Sadiq and the other was called Saduq. They were companions of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, and he is the one who sent them. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. those miracles that were granted to Prophet Isa alayhi salam, famous miracles curing the lepers, those who were blown blind, etc., they were granted as karamat to these envoys of Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. They reached Antakya, and when they reached there, they met a shepherd, and his name was Habib Najjar. They conveyed their message to him that Isa alayhi salam is our leader, we are his ummatis, we are followers of his, we've come with the invitation of Islam. Because they were speaking about a new faith, a new religion. And we know that the people at that time were worshipping idols in that region. They would form idols, they would manufacture, make idols themselves, carve idols themselves, and then they would consider them God. Na'udhu billah. Now, Habib Najjar said, if you are truthful in what you're saying, and you are inviting towards the one true faith, true religion, tell me, what are the signs of that religion? They mentioned the signs. They said, we can cure those who are ill. Those who were born blind, we can restore their eyesight. And those who are lepers, we can restore their health as well. We can cure them as well. Habib Najjar had a son. It had been 2 years since he was ill. So he said to them, if you truly can cure those who are ill, come to my home. My son's ill. He's been ill for 2 years. And cure him. So they set off with Habib Najjar. They reached his home. All they did was rub their hands over the body of Habib Najjar's son. And subhanAllah, lo and behold, he was granted Shifa. When Habib Najjar saw this, that I've been to so many physicists, so many doctors, and they haven't been able to do anything. But these two people have just come. They said that these are the signs of the religion and they've cured my son. And he said, the deen that you are inviting towards, make me recite the kalima, the testimony of faith of that deen, and I accept. And include me amongst yourselves. Now Habib Najjar has become a Muslim. And Habib Najjar, there was a mountain. Within that mountain, there was a cave. He used to be engaged in worship in that cave. He began to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadiq and Saduq entered that city. They began inviting towards the deen of Islam. And when the people of that region, that area, that city found out that these two people have cured the son of Habib Najjar, they gathered. They all gathered. Began to mention their own illnesses, the problems that they were facing. And with the idhn of Allah, with the power granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any healing power they had was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, they began to restore the health of people, began to cure people, give shifa to people, bi-idhnillah. When a blind person would come, they would cure him. When a person who was suffering from leprosy on his skin, he would come, they would cure him as well. And this ability of theirs, it began to spread, that certain people have arrived and they're curing people. And it eventually reached the court of the king of the time. The king's name was Antiha, and he was an idol worshipper. When this news reached him, he called both of them to his court. That, is there a god other than our gods? Do you have a god besides them? And both of them replied and they said, yes, there is a god. And he created anyone you consider a god. Meaning they were false gods. But he said, whoever you worship, Allah created all of them. And we have come with his speech. We have come with a message from the divine creator, Allah Azza wa Jalla. People became infuriated. How can this be? And you are calling towards one god. We have multiple gods. Na'udhu billah. You are rejecting and denying our gods. And they began to be rebuked, scolded, to the extent that the ruler, the king, he ordered that both of them be lashed 100 times each. Allahu Akbar. They were punished. And after the punishment, they were imprisoned. They were thrown into prison. When they reached the prison, Allah Ta'ala helped them. How so? Allah Ta'ala says, as in the verse, that we helped them with a third. Another messenger, another envoy came to spread the deen. Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam found out that Sadiq and Saduq are imprisoned. They're being punished. So he sent a third person. And his name was Shama'un. Now when he entered the city, he entered as a stranger. He didn't let on that he was from Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam. He came close to the king. He began to form a relationship with the king. So he began to frequent the court of the king, sit with him. And it reached a situation where, in terms of governmental affairs, the affairs of the kingdom, the king would consult with Shamoon radiallahu an regarding these matters. That's how much trust had developed. That's how much a friendship had developed. One day, Shamoon mentioned the two prisoners, Sadiq and Saduq, that two preachers came here to this city, and without even listening to their case, you've thrown them into prison. The king said, they were saying things regarding my lords, my gods, and because of that, I've imprisoned them. One thing to note here, views of Madin channel, this king, we know he's on batil. They carve their own gods, their idols, they worship them. Those idols can't benefit them, can't harm them. But one thing we note is that the king was adamant that if anyone speaks ill of my concocted gods, then I will not tolerate this. He made this clear. He punished Sadiq and Saduq. He had them imprisoned. This is what he's saying to Shamoon as well. O Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today we know we are on haq. We know we are on the truth. And how is it that we can listen to people speaking ill of our deen and not bat an eyelid? It doesn't affect our iman. It doesn't affect our faith. And we just, ma'adallah, brush it aside as if it's nothing. People can be heard saying, he's entitled to his opinion. The deen allows freedom of speech, but not freedom of insult, remember. When somebody speaks ill about the deen, you should feel that in your heart. Your iman should not allow you to sit still. You should speak out against wrong. If anyone insults the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his ashab, his ahlul bayt, obviously there are darajat. There are certain people who are more influential in this regard and they can exercise their authority. And normal believers like us, we have to ensure that we're not befriending people like this, that we're distancing ourselves from people like this, that those who attack the religion of Islam, we have nothing to do with them. How? Because if we have something to do with them, slowly, slowly, they will have a massive impact upon us, our children, our fellow Muslims. So we can't use this that everybody's okay. He's all right. I can sit with him. I can sit with him. If you want to protect and preserve your faith, you must ensure that you're not sitting with heretical people, deviant people, people who will corrupt your faith. So going back to it, now Shamoon was discussing with the king. The king said that they spoke against my religion, I became angry, and this is why I've imprisoned them. Now Shamoon said, why don't you call them? Just listen to what they have to say, listen to their case. And if you will, if you allow, let's call them right now. Let's hear what they have to say. And the king said, okay. And they were called. Look at the manner, the wisdomful manner used by Shamoon. First he became close to the king. Then he became someone who the king consulted with regarding his matters of the kingdom. And then he went towards the maqsood, the purpose of him being sent. So, al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. The hadith tells us that wisdom is the lost property of a believer. Aynama wajadaha akhadaha. Wherever he finds wisdom, he should adopt it, he should take it. One should keep the end goal in mind, just like Sayyiduna Shama'un radiallahu ta'ala. So Shama'un convinced the king to call Sadiq and Saduq. Sadiq and Saduq arrived. Shama'un asked them a few questions. So they were asked, who sent you? They said, Allah, who created everything, who has no partner. He has mentioned his monotheism. And he provides rizq to everyone, all beings. Everything that walks on the earth, Allah Ta'ala grants sustenance to them. He is our Lord. He has no partner. Now when these things were said, Sayyiduna Shama'un radiallahu anhu, he said this next thing, he mentioned another question. He said, the Lord that you speak of, describe him. Mention him. Who is he? They said, he does what he likes and he has all praiseworthy attributes. There's no defect in his dhat, in his being. Then Shamoon said, do you have any sign, do you have any evidence regarding the Lord you speak of? They said, yes, we do. And he said, that sign is that whatever the king, whose court we are in, whatever he demands, we will show that, we will manifest that. We restore the eyesight of those who were born blind, we revive the dead, we cure those who suffer from leprosy. The king said, okay, I will call someone and you cure him. And he is someone who's born blind. He has no eyes. They pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person was blessed with the ni'mah of eyesight. He had no sign of eyes. But look at the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the king saw this, he became amazed, astounded, astonished. How is this possible? And then Shama'un radiallahu anhu said, look, they did what they said they could do. They have one religion, you have a religion. You are calling your religion truthful and they are saying their religion is truthful. They have shown a sign of their religion. Now you have to show something in return now. Now the king at this time, at this moment, doesn't know that Shama'un is with them. He is from their party. The king went close to Shama'un and he said, you know that these idols, they can't see and they can't do anything. And the king himself is saying this about his idols. Shama'un smiled and said, they've shown what they had to show. Now, this is the reality which has become manifest before you, that their God is all powerful. Now, your idols, your so-called gods, they can't even walk, they can't even travel, they can't do anything. And you call them God. In every movement, they are reliant upon you. How can they be God? Then the king turned to Shama'un and said, look, they've done one thing, tell them to do another thing now. This time the king had a person, a young boy, a child from the village come, and the body of that child, who had just passed 7 days earlier, the body had decomposed, the body was emitting a foul smell, the body was placed before them. And the king said, revive him. They stepped forward, they made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he becomes alive, and lo and behold, again, with the qudra of Allah, that child became alive. He began to say that I am a mushrik. I died as a mushrik. I was made to travel into the seven valleys of hell and I suffered so much punishment. And O king, if you die upon the deen that you are on now, then you will suffer great loss. They cannot benefit you at all, the deen that you are on, the idols that you worship. If you die upon this deen, you're in trouble. O king, recite the kalima and accept what these three are saying. Now the king is curious, surprised. Which three? There were two. Who was the third one? This child who had been brought back to life said that this third one is the one who is close to you, meaning Shama'un. He's from them as well. And then the child turned to the king and said, O king, accept Islam. The doors of the heavens have opened and I can see a beautiful young person. And that young person is interceding for these three. Leave them alone. The king again said, who is the third one? He said, the one who is close to you, Shama'un, he is the third one. And then the king turned to Shama'un radiallahu anhu and said, are you with them? He said, yes, I'm with them as well. I've come to save them. Now, the truth is manifest. The truth has been revealed. After this, the requirement of the intellect is to accept, not be stubborn about things, and embrace faith. So what happened? The king, he accepted Islam, and some people from his nation also accepted Islam. Some didn't. Those people who did not accept Islam, the king began to punish them. And these three, Muballighin, they began to invite them. In Surah Yasin, it stated, those amongst them who didn't embrace faith, they said, قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ The people said, we consider you as ill-omened. If you do not cease, then we will definitely stone you and a painful punishment will reach you from us. And these three Muballighin, Sadiq, Saduq, and Shama'un, they would reply and they would say, قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ Your ill-omen is with you. I mean, we're not ill-omened, you've done it to yourself. أَإِن ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ If you are admonished, then you say that it's ill-omened and you reject. But rather, you are an excessive people. You are a nation that is excessive in your ways. You cross the limits, you transgress. Meaning your kufr that you're upon, that's ill-omened. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ And then a person from the furthest part of the city came. He came in a state of haste, in a state of running. And he said, Ya qawmi ittabi'u al-mursaleen. O my nation, follow the messengers. Follow these three envoys who have come from Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Who was that? Sayyidina Habib Najjar radiallahu ta'ala, who we spoke about right at the beginning, who had already embraced in faith and he had hidden his faith from the people. He was worshipping in the cave. When he realized that the people who had not embraced faith, they were causing harm to the believers, he came and he said to the people, "Oh my qawm, follow them. They're not asking you for any reward. They're not asking you for any compensation. They're not asking you to recompense them. They're asking you to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So follow them." And then the people said to him, "Do you follow them as well?" Meaning Habib Najjar, they asked him. And he said, "Wama li la a'budu alladhi fatarani wa ilayhi turja'un." And what is wrong with me that I do not worship the one who created me, and towards him you will be returned. So this is a way of him saying, yes, of course, I embraced faith in Islam. The deen that they taught me about, I believed in it. And then, أَأَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَانُ بِضُرِّ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَةٌ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذَا لَّفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And should I take a God besides Allah? That if Allah intends to harm me, they cannot, or their intercession cannot help me in the least, and they cannot benefit me, and they cannot save me. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذَا لَّفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Indeed, if that is the case, then I will be in great error. إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. Now Habib Najjar said to the Muballighin, the three messengers, "I believe in your Lord, so hear me, listen to me." So now that Habib Najjar has openly revealed his faith, he is attacked. He is attacked for this reason. He's harmed, he's prosecuted, he's persecuted, tormented, punished, ma'adallah, very severely, violently, until he tastes martyrdom. Allahu Akbar, they martyred him. And in Surah Yasin, the beautiful words of his are mentioned, the words that were said to him when he attained martyrdom. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. It was said to him, "Enter Jannah." And when he entered Jannah and he saw those blessings that no eye has seen, no ear has heard of, the thought of which has never crossed the mind of a person, he said, he made a request, a yearning. He said, "قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ." He said, "If only my nation knew, if only they knew that they were on wrong and they have to accept Islam to prosper. If only they knew about how my Lord forgave me and how he honored me, made me from those who are honored." Subhanallah. So when he was alive, he was inviting them. Now that he has passed away, he's still expressing that desire. If only these people, they also accept Islam, they'll be rejoicing like me. Subhanallah, what a beautiful desire. Now after the martyrdom of Sayyidina Habib Najjar, the nation, they were seized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran it says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِن بَعْدِهِ مِن جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. Now after him, we did not descend upon his qawm any army from the sky, nor were we going to do this, to descend an army upon them. It was just a screech, and then all of them disappeared. So this was the result of rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no need to send an army. It was just a screech, a scream, a loud sound, and they were all destroyed. They were all disposed of, all dealt with. Allahu Akbar. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with those people who are stubborn, obstinate, who reject the truth. And as for those who accept the truth and then they perform good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man amila صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً." That the one who performs a good action, either man or woman, and is a believer, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We give that person a beautiful life. And this is what we want. And these Muballighin, look at what they had to go through. Look what happened to Habib Najjar. He lost his life because he revealed to the people that you are on wrong. We need to take encouragement, inspiration. We need to spread Islam in a beautiful, wisdom-filled manner, and leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala, for the sake of these Muballighin, grant us tawfiq to also call towards the deen of Islam, call towards tawheed, the monotheism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and call towards the final prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.